A King Who Was Not Desired, Chapter 102. Groups of people are very busy working in different places throughout the land of Judah and Benjamin. Some are industriously planting young trees around an elevation. Others carry large stones to these places. Oh, and what are they making on these high places? Come, boys and girls, in our thoughts we will go to one of these places to see what they are doing. They are building an altar. A few other people come carrying a heavy stone image, panting from the weight of it. With the greatest caution, this image is placed upright behind the altar. It is an idol of Baal. Trees are planted around this high place. When all this work is finished, the inhabitants of Judah and Benjamin will offer on the altar to the honor of Baal. They will bend their knees before the stone image. Terrible wickedness, isn't it? They make several of these high places near Jerusalem and others throughout the entire land. Perhaps in bewilderment you are thinking, that is strange. Asa and Jehoshaphat had broken down those high places for the worship of idols. Besides, they had broken in pieces and destroyed the images. Are they again being built? Yes, children, it is a pity, but they are. How did it come to pass? Another king now reigned in Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat was dead, and his oldest son succeeded him as king. In the Bible, his name and the name of Israel's king, the son of Ahab, are spelled two ways, Jehoram and Joram. Keep this in mind so that you do not confuse these two kings. We will name Judah's king Jehoram. We will name Israel's king Joram. Joram, Israel's king, the son of Ahab, was slain by Jehu. Jehoram, who now reigns in Jerusalem, is the son of Jehoshaphat. These two kings were related to each other as brothers-in-law. Jehoram, the king of Judah, was married to Athaliah, the sister of Joram, the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat had more sons, but Jehoram was the oldest, therefore he became king in the place of his father. The new king of Judah was a wicked king. He was a murderer of his brothers. Do you know what he did? When he was established upon his throne, he caused all his brethren to be slain with the sword. He shamefully murdered every one of them. How is that possible? His father, Jehoshaphat, was a God-fearing king. And he? He was a man of exceeding wickedness. By this we can see that even though we have a converted father or a God-fearing mother, it doesn't mean that we will be converted. The older people say, grace is not inherited. No, everyone must receive his own new heart from the Lord. May you ask often for it. This is plainly seen in the life of Jehoram, the terrible murderer of his brethren. His wicked wife, Athaliah, grins. She is well pleased with it. Besides, she urges her husband to set up the worship of Baal in Judah. Her mother, Jezebel, had done likewise in Israel. Baal is worshipped in Israel and Samaria. Why not worship Baal in Judah and Jerusalem too? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob must be forgotten in both kingdoms. Yes, completely forgotten. Jehoram does everything his wife says. Upon his command, the leveled-off high places again are rebuilt. The images which were broken to pieces are renewed, and the broken-down altars are replaced. For this reason, many people are working busily in many places. The idol worship is again introduced into Judah and Benjamin. Jehoram tells his subjects they must worship Baal. Yes, even worse, he forces them to bend their knees before that horrible idol. What he does is so different from what his pious father Jehoshaphat did. And his subjects, do they obey? Alas, yes, many of them do. They dare not disobey their king. However, God's people will not do it. They refuse. But the Lord desires to warn Jehoram. One day he received a letter written by Elijah, the prophet of Israel. Elijah already had ascended into heaven, but this letter had been written before his ascension. Elijah prophesied in this letter that Jehoram the murderer would be punished severely by the Lord. These are the contents of the letter. Because you have forsaken the Lord and instituted the worship of Baal, the Lord will punish you. Your wives, your children, and your possessions will be carried away by the enemy, and you shall have a terrible, painful disease from which you shall die. This is a sad message, isn't it? What does Jehoram do? Does it frighten him? Is he humbled before the Lord? Oh no, he laughs and mocks about it. Jehoram will not listen. It doesn't trouble him at all. Then the threatened punishments came. The Edomites, who served the children of Israel and brought Jehoram gifts every year, revolt against him. They refuse to continue to bring him those gifts. They want to be free. Just wait, Jehoram thinks. I will punish you. I will force you into obedience. He quickly musters his army and invades the land of Edom. He will destroy their cities and kill the rebels. But he loses the battle and narrowly escapes being slain. The Edomites are free. Rebellion also breaks out among his own people. The city of Libna lies within his own borders. It is a city of priests. The inhabitants of Libna will no longer acknowledge Jehoram as their king because he has forsaken the Lord. However, still heavier punishments follow. The enemies invade his country from all sides. The Philistines come from the southwest. An army of Arabians comes from the south. These two armies march toward the capital and rob and murder as they go along the way, destroying everything in their path. Jehoram cannot fight against them. They come to Jerusalem and conquer the city. Jehoram has many wives and children. All his wives except Athaliah, and all his children except his youngest son Ahaziah are carried away as captives, and later they are all killed by the enemy. Jehoram's gold and silver and all his possessions also are plundered. That which Elijah had prophesied in his letter has taken place. The Lord manifested that he still is God. God will punish sinners severely. O Jehoram, leave your wicked ways. Ask God to forgive your many crimes. Don't you see the Lord is punishing you? However, he does not bend his knees. He will not ask the Lord for forgiveness. He is an enemy of the Lord. Do you hear that dismal groan? From where does it come? This melancholy sound comes from the royal palace. We will enter the building. Someone lies upon a bed. He is Jehoram the king. He has so much pain, it is terrible. Oh, at times it is unbearable. He sometimes crawls in his bed like a worm. Large drops of sweat sparkle upon his forehead. What is wrong? The king is sick. He is suffering from a very severe sickness, a sickness of the bowels. He cannot get better. His sickness is incurable. The best doctors cannot help him. He must die of this disease. If Jehoram will not bow before the Lord will break him. That is to say, the Lord will slay him. This painful sickness lasts 2 full years. Then he dies. He reigned only 8 years over Judah and Benjamin. He already cried from the pain while upon the earth. But when he died, he went to eternal damnation. There the pain is more severe. There he will bite upon his tongue, doing so forever and ever. This is the dreadful end of the wicked king Jehoram. O children, the Lord gives us a serious warning in this history. If we continue to live in an unregenerated state and die in that state, we too will go to the same place. We also, from the pain, will bite upon our tongues. O boys and girls, you may believe it and take it to heart before it is too late. The people of Jerusalem soon hear their king is dead, but they are not grieved about it. Oh no, they are happy. Good, they think, we are rid of him. They do not mourn for him. We read in the Bible, he departed without being desired. That means they looked forward to the day when he would die. A few men carry away his dead body to be buried. However, they do not bring his corpse to the graves of the kings. He is not buried in the same place as his God-fearing father Jehoshaphat or his grandfather Asa. No, he doesn't belong there. He is not worthy of that honor. He is laid in the ground somewhere, on a small speck of the earth, and there he will lay until the Lord Jesus comes upon the clouds of heaven.